Nava is the author of an acclaimed series of 7 crime novels featuring Henry Rios, a gay Latino criminal defense lawyer. The series has won 6 Lambda Literary Awards. In 2001, Michael received the Bill Whitehead Lifetime Achievement Award in LGBT literature. A native Californian and the grandson of Mexican immigrants, Michael was the first person in his family to attend college, and he went on to receive his law degree from Stanford. He now lives near San Francisco. Today we'll speak with him about his new title, The City of Palaces, the book that's earned the honor of Best Latino Novel in the 2015 International Latino Book Awards. Welcome, Michael, and thanks for joining us today on The Book Report.
Well, thank you for having me.
The City of Palaces is such a departure from your Henry Rios series. Why this book now?
Well, I had become increasingly interested in my own family's history. My great-grandparents were refugees from the Mexican Revolution, and I just began to investigate that story. And over the course of 20 years, you know, it led me to the City of Palaces.
I see. You describe Miguel Sarmiento as a man lost in the corridors of a private sorrow. How so?
Well, in the book, he feels he is in fact responsible for the death of a young woman, which has led him to sort of leave Mexico for a period of 10 years. And when he comes back, you know, he still has that unresolved guilt. And so that's why I describe him in that manner.
And actually, the book is set in what time period?
The book is set largely in Mexico City between around 1895 and 1913, which is a period just before and at the beginning of the Mexican Revolution in 1910.
Okay. As you know, Americans are shockingly unfamiliar with Don Porfirio Diaz and the Mexican Revolution. Can you tell us a little bit about the circumstances?
So actually, that's why I wrote the book. One of the reasons, I mean, the Mexican Revolution is one of the 2 great revolutions of the 20th century, along with the Russian Revolution. You're right, Americans know very little about it or its long-term impact on this country. But in essence, Diaz, if you think of him like the Egyptian president, Mubarak, there are similarities. He had been president of Mexico for 40 years, in authoritarian rule. He had modernized the country, but the way he did so was by essentially selling the country out to foreign investment while impoverishing his own people. And at the same time, you know, exercising political repression. And ultimately, you know, after 40 years, just as with Mubarak in Egypt, there was a mass popular uprising against him.
Mm-hmm. The other main character in the book is Doña Alicia, and you wrote she was like a princess in a fairy tale consumed by a dragon. Can you introduce us?
Yes. So she is the daughter of an old aristocratic family, and again, Americans may not realize that because Mexico was part of the Spanish Empire for 300 years, there were titles and nobility, so there were actually, you know, dukes and duchesses and counts and princes in Mexico who had been ennobled by Spanish kings and queens. So her family is one of those noble families, and even after the Mexico became a republic, they retained their titles. So she's born into great privilege, but when she's young, she has a catastrophic illness that leaves her disfigured. So that's why I describe her in that manner. She's a very, in her illness, she turns really to her devout Catholic faith and becomes a person who tries to live a life of service to the poor.
We're speaking with Michael Nava on The Book Report. Miguel has a cousin, Luis, who is a homosexual man. How were you able to find documentation of gay history in Mexico City at that time?
Well, there's virtually none. I allude to a famous ball in Mexico City involving upper-middle-class men that was raided by the police. and there were 41 men, so they're known as the infamous 41, and those men were carted off to prison. So in the book, I have Luis as having been at that party, but I'm managing to escape. Everything else I had made up, basically, because there's really very little documentation about homosexuality in Mexico at that period.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about Francisco Madero.
So Madero's a very interesting character. He was the person who ultimately brought down Porfirio Diaz after Diaz's 40-year regime. And Madero was quite atypical as a Mexican. He was a small man. He was probably 5'4", 5'5". He had a high-pitched voice. He was married, but he and his wife were childless, which was quite unusual. He was a vegetarian, and he was a spiritualist. That is, he believed that he communed with the spirits of the dead, which he did with the Ouija board. And notwithstanding all of his eccentricities, he had a deep love for Mexico and for the Mexican poor, and really wanted, and a deep tenacity that allowed him, this unlikely character, to lead a revolution against this military strongman and to prevail.
Tell us about the Yaquis and what sparked your interest in this group.
So as I said, you know, this book began as an investigation into my own family's history. My maternal grandmother's family were refugees from the Mexican Revolution. My maternal grandfather was a Yaqui. The Yaquis were an Indian tribe living in the northwest state of Sonora in Mexico. At the end of the 19th century, Diaz's government embarked on a campaign of extermination, just as we attempted to exterminate the Plains Indians, in order to take their land, which was very desirable farmland. So the horrendous treatment of the Yaquis by Diaz's government became one of the issues that led to the revolution. It was known in this country, too. It was just a cause celeb. So that's why I wove it into the story. It was a factor in Diaz's ultimate downfall.
How long did it take you to actually research this book?
I think my earliest intimations of the book were around 1995. But I got serious about it around 2000. So I would say it took about 14 years to research and write The City of Palaces.
How have you reacted to the book being compared to Dr. Zhivago?
Well, that's very flattering.
Yes.
I was working on a much bigger canvas than in the Rios book, so yes, I was trying to tell an epic story.
I know that The City of Palaces is to be book one of a trilogy. What are the other two books?
Well, the next book, the one I'm working on now, is about the Yaquis. It describes in more detail this persecution by the Diaz government and how some members of the tribe were able to survive by crossing the border and going into Arizona, where they now have a reservation, which is where my grandfather was born. And somehow I'm going to try to link this book with characters from the City of Palaces, a couple of whom also end up in Arizona.
And when might we expect to see that book?
I hope it'll take less than 14 years.
All right. Well, Michael, any final thoughts about City of Palaces?
No, pleasure to talk to you. And yes, I really do hope that it introduces readers to part of this very important history, not only of Mexico, but also the United States.
It was a wonderful read. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Anne.
Bye.
Bye.